The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
When people look at you as a believer in Christ, do they see the delight in this life? We'll talk about that next. I remember the movie Amistad, when they portrayed Christians of the day. They were dour, sour-faced, and just horrible to look at and be around, actually. The question is, today as we begin our broadcast, does that describe you as a Christian, specifically? When someone looks at you, do they see the joy of your salvation? We'll talk about that today on Times of Refreshing with Pastor Napoleon Kaufman from The Well, a Christian community here in Livermore. Join us and be encouraged, won't you, as we understand the joy of our salvation. Once again, with a look at this joy, here's Pastor Napoleon Kaufman.
We're going to maintain and receive and get back the joy that we have when it comes to our salvation. We've got to maintain our union with Christ. Our union with Christ. Just write that down. And what this means is unity of heart, unity of a purpose, and then I would go so far as to say unity of desire. Because if I'm one with Christ, ultimately who he is as a person should begin to overtake me in every area and aspect of my life. Christ wants to have residence within me, and then he wants to function in and through me. And there's a unity that is established. It's not a unity that's going to be established. It's a unity that is established. Christ lives in me. Christ abides in me. And now that he's in me, he's beginning to teach me how to think the way he thinks, desire the way he desires, and to move in the direction that he's looking for all of us to move. But what happens to us, saints, we get into our relationship with God, and then we start thinking that Christ is in my life just to promote my agenda. But Christ is in our lives so that his agenda would be established in the earth, not just our agenda. And so there's a unity that begins to take place between me and the Lord and us and the Lord. And I like this word. And I think this is an appropriate word. There is a rhythm that we begin to get into with the Lord. Have you ever tried to dance with somebody that couldn't dance? Some of y'all looking at y'all spouse like, oh. See, what happens is, but this is how what happens with us in the Lord. There's a rhythm that you get into. Why? Because we're one with Christ. And I'm yielding to him. I'm yielding to him. And what happens is, now there's a beautiful rhythm that we experience. But sometimes in our relationship, we lose that and it creates frustration. And when the frustration sets in, then we start to lose our joy. My walk with God isn't fun because I feel like I'm hitting a brick wall. Well, some of that is because you're not being unified with Christ. And being unified with Christ means you have to yield to Christ because he's God and you're not. Amen? And so we got to learn to yield. Somebody say yield. This is how we get into this flow with God and experience unity. Well, Jesus is talking to them about this. And when that happens, there's a joy that sets in. And it's not just your joy. He said that my joy will be fulfilled in them. And this type of joy that is tied to salvation, and this ultimately what he was bringing them, is what we need to maintain. But without being unified with Christ, we'll never have it. We'll just have frustration. We can go to church all we want, but we'll be frustrated. Why? Because there's no unity. And unity never comes without being yielded to him. Amen? Number two, go to Psalm 16, verse 8 to 11. So this joy is maintained in our life. It abides in our life. It comes into our life. Number one, by union with Christ. And then number two, we'll see here in Psalm 16. He says in verse 8, he says, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, and I shall not be moved. He says, therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. He says, my flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol, or hell, or the grave. He says, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. He says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of what? He says, and at your right hand are pleasures, he says, forevermore. And so if I'm going to maintain, get back into, experience the joy of my salvation, I have to get back into the presence of God. And I think this is one of the things that happens for a lot of people. We stop valuing God's presence. We stop valuing cultivating God's presence, helping to create an atmosphere where God's presence is continually welcome. We stop doing those things that help us to experience that joy. You know, what happens to us saying, we just get so busy. People get busy and they stop realizing that, wait a minute, I want God's presence in my life, because in the presence of the Lord, there is a fullness of joy. The joy of my salvation really becomes evident as I learn to live in the presence of God. That I'm always conscious of God's nearness. And that I'm doing whatever it takes to make sure that I'm creating an environment in my life where God is welcome. How can I welcome God? This is one of the things as a pastor. I love pastor and I thank God for this. But one of the things that early on when we first started, I made a commitment that this is not just about how can we draw people. It's about how can we draw God and his presence. What can we do in our church to make God feel welcome? Well, we have to do that on a personal level. We have to ask ourselves, in my life, and in my home, am I creating a climate in my home where God is welcome within my home? I mean, we have guests that come over, and man, we clean up the yard. We tearing stuff up. We come on, pick up them socks. Get that stuff. You know they're going to be here. And we get the house looking. We get it smelling good. We got it down. But then we don't think that way when it comes to God. Like, God, I want you to live at my house. Can I have an amen? Can I have an amen, y'all? I want you to live at my house. Okay, so what if I got the king coming over to my house? Air day. I want to find out, Lord, how can I create an atmosphere in this house that you're going to be blessed and you're going to like to live here? See, this is the only area when I'm telling you, be selfish. Say, God, I want you at my house. My house. Now, I know you're going to go over their house and you over there too, but I want you here. When I wake up in the morning, I want to feel God. Can I have an amen? Is there anybody in here that wants God at your house? But this is what happens. We don't think that way. Oh, how am I going to get God at my house when I'm watching crazy stuff on TV? How am I going to get God at my house when I'm listening to these rappers talking about how many girls they slept with and who they bumping and grinding and this and that? How am I going to get God to come into my house when I get in my car? And the first thing I do, when I get in my car, I'm not getting in my car and putting on worship music. I'm getting in my car and lighting up a cigarette. But this is what saints, this is what happened. This is why people don't have any joy in their relationship with God. Because God is standing way over there and saying, wow, you think I'm not going, I'm holy. I love you. I want you. I know, but we're good. But I love you. But listen, you go in place. I can't go there. Can I have an amen? And I just think that sometimes we have to stop and realize that it's in the presence of the Lord that we're going to find this joy. And we have to cultivate that in our personal lives and saying, God, when you come in, I want you to be in every area of my life. Where I want to experience the power of God every day, every month. I want my kids, when they go to school, that the power of God is on them and the presence of God. Amen. It doesn't just happen. And people are frustrated in their relationship with God because they're not allowing themselves to enjoy the presence of God and do what it takes to cultivate an atmosphere and to find out from God's word what he likes. What is God like? I'm going to do that so I can have his presence at all times and he's blessed with me. Can I have an amen? Go to John chapter 15. Look at this. This is also a good one that will help us. I want to live in God's presence and enjoy his presence because there's joy there. And Jesus says it again here in John chapter 15, verse 9 on down to 11. And this is number 3. He says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. He says, abide in my love. He says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. He says, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be what? Full. Number 3 is keeping God's commands. Or just write down the word obedience. You know, obedience has gotten a bad rap. We have people that have perverted the message of grace and have tried to convince people that you can get saved and then once you say a prayer, you can go off and now just go off and live like the devil. And not realizing that if you really love God, Jesus just said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That there's an obedience that's tied to our love. That I love you enough that I'm going to give my life completely over to you and yield to your will in my life. Because I'm grateful, God. And what happens for a lot of people, there's almost a confusion because there's so much hypocrisy and so much perversion of the message of grace. Grace is an empowering influence in your life. It's an unmerited benefit that comes as a result of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. But the benefit is that God now, he empowers you to do what you could not do in your own strength. And he gives you this power freely and liberally. But what happens is we take grace as a means for license. Instead of realizing that grace is an empowering influence in my life. And now when I could not obey God because I was ensnared to my sin and to the world and to the devil, Jesus, because he was gracious, he liberated me and now he's given me power over the sin and the world and the devil. So I can do those things through Christ who strengthens me. And so obedience is a beautiful thing. Obedience is a wonderful thing. And Jesus is saying here, and he says it clearly. He says that my joy may remain. We want God's joy, or the joy of the Lord, the joy of salvation, to remain in our lives. But it takes us being willing to be obedient. To find out here, what does God say? And then by his power, he's going to empower me to do it. I'm not going to do it in my own strength because I can't do it in my own strength. But I'm going to do it in the strength that he gives me because he's God. It always amazes me, Saints. I got to stop here. It always amazes me that God says, I want you to satisfy me. And then he turns around and says, but you can't satisfy me. And then he turns around and says, and because you can't satisfy me, I'm going to empower you now to satisfy me. And so when you satisfy me, it's not because of you and your ability. You're going to satisfy me because of the ability that I'm giving you to satisfy me, so that God gets all the glory in the name of Jesus. Can we have an amen up in this place? So God's not asking us to do things in our own power and by what people would call works. What he's saying is you're going to work, but you're going to work through the power that I'm giving you, so that you don't get the glory I do. So I'm going to satisfy me through you. In obedience, and only thing he wants us to do is say, yes, I'll do it. I give my will to you, God. And then he takes us and he uses us for his glory. And I think we have to stop sometimes, saints, and just really ask ourselves, man, am I obedient to God? Maybe this is one of the reasons why I don't have joy. I come to church, but I don't have any joy. Why is it? Maybe because I'm just not obedient. God's just telling me to do simple things. And simple things like, husbands, love your wives. A simple thing like, flee fornication. I mean, you're not going to die. You're not going to die. Just don't do it. Listen, God's not against sex. He's not. He just said, God said, he created it. He said, it's good. He said, but these are the boundaries. Stay within these boundaries. Go for it. The angels there, everybody there, they don't care. God made it. Just stay here. But because of the rebellion in us, we always want to do something over here. And then the angels had to blow the whistle. Am I going too far, y'all? I'm sorry. He just said, do it. But the thing I'm saying is, it's just a matter of obedience. And then we don't have any joy as a result of that. No joy. No joy. Last thing, and let's close with this. Romans chapter 15. Romans 15, verse 7 through 11. I think this is critical here, because sometimes when we're walking with God, sometimes we're in test mode. Well, God will test you. God tested Abraham. God tested Job. God tested the children of Israel for 40 years. You're in test mode. It's not that, and listen, Abraham didn't do anything wrong. Moses, we see when you look at tests in people's lives, the Bible says that Job didn't do anything wrong. He just went for a period of time. He went through a season where he was just tested. And I think sometimes we fail to realize that there's going to be moments where we get tested and you don't understand. But what you have to know is that no matter what happens, God is still good. And though he slay me, yet will I what? Trust him. Yet will I trust him, because he's God. And then there's moments where we're being chastened by the Lord. And so there's times when we're tested. There's times when God is disciplining us. But even in God's discipline, he's still good. But whether it's testing or chastening and highs and lows and ups and downs and stuff happens, I can't explain everything. And I know this Bible, but I don't have all the answers. But what I do know is that God is always good, and he is worthy to be trusted. You have to believe him. And look what he says here. He says, therefore, receive one another just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision, the Jews, for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made to the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this reason I will confess to you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you people. And again, Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. In him, the Gentiles shall hope. Now look at verse 13. He says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in what? Believing. That you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. He says that you may, he says that he would fill you with all joy and peace. This is what we want. The joy of our salvation. We want to overflow with this joy and peace, but it doesn't come unless we believe. Believing the highs and the lows, testing, chastening, stuff happening. I don't know. I can't explain it. Life is going on. I don't know why this happened. I wish it wouldn't have happened. But at the heart of it all, I still believe you, God. I still trust in you, God. I still know that you're God. I still know you got a plan. I don't understand it all, but I don't need to understand it all. And I just need everybody to be quiet right now and let me process this with God. So Job is sitting there. And at some point, he just sits back and listens to all these people who have their opinions. And he doesn't know all the answers, but he's just sitting there. And when the time came, because he responded right in the midst of it, he didn't curse God like his wife told him to. He didn't question God like his friends told him to. He just sat there believing and knowing that God is good, and though he slay me, I will trust him. Can I have an amen, y'all? And sometimes you got to do this. You got to tell people in your life, just be quiet. And let me process this. And in the midst of my processing, I'm gonna make sure one thing happens, and that is I'm gonna believe God. And God begins to fill you with his joy as you believe. And then he said, not only joy, but peace as you believe. And saints, we have to stop and ask ourselves, am I a believer? Am I a believer? In my high times, when God blesses me abundantly, am I a believer? Or do I start thinking it was me that made this happen? In my low times, when my back is against the wall, am I a believer? Because in the midst of the highs and lows, there's a place that we have to constantly maintain, and that is, I believe God. And when we believe God, he fills us with all joy and peace as we believe. He says, in believing. As you're believing, this is when this comes. This is when this comes. You got fired, but do you believe God to give you another job? When that happens, it's the devil, let me say this to you in closing. The devil doesn't know what to do with you when he can't make you afraid and get you to turn on God. Because it bothers him. This is what happened with Job. It bothers him that, man, these guys are really, they really love God. And I think we have to stop and put our roots down and say, God, I want this joy of my salvation, but I've also got to make a stand when it comes to my belief system, that I believe God. I don't understand everything about God, but I believe him. And you know what, quite frankly, you know, he's on a different pay scale. I don't need even being bothered with all that. I don't even want to try to figure all that out. Lord, are you there? Yes. All right. Let's roll. Can I have an amen in here, y'all? And when this happens, that's when you start getting filled with joy. Today, saints, I want to encourage you on this Resurrection Sunday. I know you're going to go off and have a wonderful day and go and have barbecue and hang out and all those great things. But saints, are you doing it with a genuine joy concerning your salvation? You have to answer. Some people may not even be saved in this room. So what I'm talking to you about is foreign, but I'm going to say it to you today. You can have this joy unspeakable and full of glory in your life. He doesn't promise us that everything's going to be perfect, but he said, my joy, I want it fulfilled in them. The joy of knowing that if God has saved me, then God will take me all the way to the finish line.
A production of the Well Christian Community, this has been Times of Refreshing with our teacher and pastor, Napoleon Kaufman. As we close out our time together today, we trust and pray our time together has encouraged you in Christ, has encouraged you in your walk and relationship with Him. If it has, we'd love to hear from you. Now, there are a couple of ways you can get a hold of us. By phone, of course, the easiest, 925-292-7800. Again, you can reach us at 925-292-7800. You're also welcome to write to us. Address your envelope to the Well Christian Community, 2333 Neeson Drive. That's here in Livermore, California, the zip code 94551. Of course, you can always stop by our website. You can learn all about us at thewellchurch.net. That's thewellchurch.net. You can even take advantage of a few links, one of which will take you to our Facebook page. Or if you're on Facebook, simply look for The Well Christian Community. Don't forget, as you visit our website, take a moment and drop us an email. Let us know you paid us a visit. You can also follow Pastor Napoleon, by the way, on Twitter. His address, at Napoleon Kaufman, all one word, at Napoleon Kaufman. We thank you for spending time with us again today and look forward to seeing you next time we get together as we continue looking at God's Word for times of refreshing. Until then, may Jesus Christ be highly exalted in your life and may He bring you a peace that passes all understanding.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.